Folks, we are going to have a short Bible study, and I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 2. What we're going to do, we're still considering the idea of death. Just one little aspect I'd like to talk about. One way that death is described in Scripture is that of sleep. And this will lead us to consider the next topic, which is resurrection. Which is an event which the dead awoken. But I just want to consider the idea of sleep here, and particularly in reference to King David. Now, you needn't turn to this, firstly, because I've got you in Acts 2, but in case you are interested or taking notes or something, Psalm 13, verses 3 and 4, talks about David is actually speaking there in one of the Psalms, and he talks about the sleep of death. And we know that David eventually died, and it says, of a good age, in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28, it's almost the last verse of 1 Chronicles. So we know he died, and we're going to see that spoken of in a different way in Acts chapter 2. Just a few verses here and there. Verse 29. Now, Acts 2 is, of course, the account of the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came upon the disciples and many other people. And Peter gets up and addresses a large crowd of Jews gathered for the Feast of Pentecost. And he says in verse 29, particularly in reference to David and our subject of life, death and resurrection, he says, "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day." So David died about 1,000 years, give or take. Give or take a few years, but about 1,000 years before these words were said. So he says, "I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day." And what he then starts linking it up with is the death and resurrection of Christ. And there's an astounding statement in verse 34. Knocked me over the first time I saw this. It's obvious in light of what we've said and seen the last few weeks, but it knocked me over the first time I saw it. It says, "For David did not ascend to heaven." David did not ascend to heaven. Now, we're told, we'll get to that verse in a moment. If there was ever a man who was going to, quote, unquote, be in heaven after he died, it would be David. Because he was spoken of as being a man after God's own heart. So if there's anyone that we would expect to have died and then his spirit or soul or some part of him then lived on forever, it would be David. But that's not the case. As we read, he's dead and buried. His tomb is here today. That's where we read in verse 29. And then verse 34, David did not ascend to heaven. And it says, "Yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand." And again, of course, this is all in the context of talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like you to go to Acts chapter 13 now. And we'll read that statement about David's position before God. Acts chapter 13. This is one of Paul's first speeches. And he's essentially giving his listeners a bit of a history of the Old Testament. We'll pick it up from verse 22. Acts 13, verse 22. So he's going through, he's told them about the Exodus, and he's told them about how they got judges, and then they had a king. And Saul, of course, was that first king. So verse 22 says, "After removing Saul, he made," that's God, "made David their king." Has everyone got it? No? Okay, so we're in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. All right, we've had a history, we've read about the Exodus, we've had the judges, we read about King Saul, the first of the kings, and then we get under David. Verse 22. "After removing Saul, he made," that's God made, "David their king. He testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Saviour Jesus as he promised. And again, it, of course, all these speeches in Acts start relating the history to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's very interesting and the main focus point. But just for our point this afternoon or this evening, I'd like you to go down to verse 36 because he's going to talk about David again. Verse 36, it says, "For when David had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep." And that's really the point I'm trying to make here, is that death is often spoken about as a sleep. It's a sleep. "When David served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay," and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that he doesn't say about David, he fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, his body decayed, but his soul kept on living somewhere. It doesn't say that. It says that he was asleep. He was asleep. And there's a wonderful verse that I'd like you to go back to now. It is in the Psalms, Psalm 17. So far we've referred to David sleeping the sleep of death. We didn't look at that passage, but it's in Psalm 13. Then we read that he died, he did not ascend to heaven, his tomb was still there, but then after God had finished with David, he slept. And now we read this lovely verse in Psalm 17, it's the last verse, verse 15. David's praying here. It's a wonderful verse that's going to lead us into our next study on resurrection. Everyone got it? Psalm 17, verse 15, he says, "And I," David's talking, "and I, in righteousness, I will see your face." He's praying to the Lord. "I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness." What a wonderful verse. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. "I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness when I awake." It's wonderful, isn't it? We learn a lot more about resurrection in the New Testament than we do in the Old Testament, but there are these glimpses that we get that these people knew that once their body died and the spirit returned to God, that that wasn't the end of the story. It wasn't the end of the story. The NIV here says, "I'll be satisfied with seeing your likeness." It's one of those quirks of the translation that it's going to be a bit difficult to sometimes tell the person you see. I think we've got time just to go to one more passage, which we should spend a lot more time on. It's in the New Testament, and I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians 15. We will probably spend an evening in 1 Corinthians 15 in the next few weeks, because it is the great resurrection chapter, and that's really where we're going to next in the series. But again, it talks about sleep. Now, resurrection is an interesting sort of topic. It's a complicated topic, and yet one aspect of it is very simple. Resurrection is being made alive again. It's just that simple. We can debate about who's going to be resurrected when, at which point and where, for weeks on end or years on end. And we'll probably do a little bit of that over the next few weeks. I've got a few ideas and you can throw a few back at me. But essentially, I just want to make some points here about resurrection and the awaking from sleep here. Just in a few verses. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Well, we really should pick it up in verse 18, shouldn't we? Or verse 1, but verse 18, verse 17. Verse 17. If Christ, see, there was a question that some, see, in verse 12, the context there is, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? All right, because some were questioning, oh, well, this man Jesus, he hasn't really been risen. Okay, that's the context. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Now, we've made this point before, but in case you weren't here that night or those several nights it was made, let me make it plain. We talk about the cross. The cross is absolutely central to the Christian faith. Christ dying in our place, he shed his blood on our behalf. And we can't overestimate and overvalue that role. But if Christ did not raise again, if he did not live again, then this scripture is telling us, and it's very consistent with many other scriptures, that our faith is futile. We are believing in someone who is dead. The whole point, the cross is not complete without the resurrection. I often pray that because he lives and we are in him, then we will live too. Because it's such a fundamental principle to the Christian theology. So let's read from verse 17 and I'll just stop here and there. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep, there's our point, we were talking about sleep. Those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means the first of those who have been raised from the dead. In the Old Testament, there was several laws that had to do with the first fruits. In Exodus 23, you can read it, and Leviticus 23, the first pick of the harvest was to be offered to God. That was called the first fruits. And here, again, there's a parallel because the law foreshadows the truths in Christ. We read that Christ was the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So all those Old Testament people who were made alive because, say, Elijah raised some people, I think Elisha also raised some people, they were raised to life from death, but they died again. Likewise, the Lord himself raised a number of people in his lifetime, but they all died again. But Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep because he lives still. And he's the first one. Verse 21. For since death came through a man, and if your version has man, well, that's referring to Adam, but it's really a man. The resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That is, all in Christ will be made alive. But each in his own turn. So there's actually an order of things. Christ, the first fruits. We've already looked at that. Then, when he comes, those who belong to him. And then there's some very interesting verses about what happens after that. But essentially, we have people who are asleep, or death is called asleep, and then this is resurrection is being awoken again. We have a lovely verse there too in verse 26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Again, I want to just emphasize that the timing of resurrection is an interesting point of debate, and we might come up with some of those arguments fairly shortly, but... And we'll talk perhaps a little bit more about sleep because I think Lazarus is a very interesting example of sleep and resurrection and death and so on. But that's about where we're going to leave it for tonight.